Well, good morning and welcome to our gathering here on our Sunday morning. I'm glad you could join us and be part of our worship service. It's good to have people in the building, but also good to have those who are watching at home, whether you're joining us live or you're catching up later in the week. Thank you for being part of our gathering this morning. Please do share your thoughts and comments throughout the week. Then it gives us a chance to reflect back on our podcast on Monday. We had lots of feedback last week from Claire's sermon, so please do keep that going. It's great to hear people's thinking as they've reflected and wrestled with Scripture themselves. Now, there are two outdoor events happening in the next few weeks. And next week, we have, on the 11th of July, we have an outdoor service, which is going to happen behind our coffee shop, behind Cara Coffee. And then the following week, on the 18th, there's a barbecue, and that's in the courtyard behind Cara Coffee. And both of those, we'd encourage you to book in via our website. So that does mean next week we won't have anything online, but everyone is welcome to come and join us behind the coffee shop. Please bring a chair with you, bring some refreshments, and also bring some communion. So bring some wine and some bread, and we'll share that time together. Thank you, Liz and the team who are putting the service together. And it'll be good to do something a little bit different on Sunday morning. We've been doing this for a long time, just stood up here. So it'd be great to have that opportunity just to share a little bit differently next week. So next week is a service, and the following week is a barbecue. Also, there's a few things happening in our building. So the baby group is happening, and the youth group are meeting as well. So please, if you're involved in any of those, it's great to have people in the building and using the building. And just one final note, we have building work starting here on Monday morning, so it won't affect most of us. Certainly if you're in this part of the building, it won't be affected, but there'll be a new temporary wall in the lounge. The car park will be out of bounds from Monday, so it'll all be cordoned off, so you won't be able to park there. And there'll be a temporary toilet as well. So if you are caught short, you'll have to use a port-a-loo for the next few months. So I'm sorry about that, but that's the best that we could do in these times. I'd love just to pray for us, then we'll hand over to the worship band. Lord God, we thank you that we gather, whether the rules allow or don't, because we can connect with you, we can gather with you. We don't need to be socially distant. We can be community in fellowship and in fellowship with you. Lord God, I pray that you would gather us in this morning. That whatever we might have been facing, whatever circumstances, whatever's buzzing around in our minds and our heads, I pray we might know something of your Spirit's presence with us now. Amen. Well, we're going to hand over to the team. Thank you, Toby.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together. Great, how awesome is he?
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to join with you again today, and we hope that you've had a good week. What are we doing today? Well, today Martin is going to be thinking and talking about discipleship. Was it a big one? Sorry? What do you mean? Some of the disciples were fishermen. Yes, that's right. So they had boats. Yes, they had fishing boats. And they left their fishing boats to follow Jesus. That's right. When Jesus called them to follow him, they left their nets and their boats and they went with Jesus. Well, then where did they get their ship? And was it a big one? What ship? They didn't have a ship. But I said Martin was going to talk about the disciples' ship. And where did they get it? We're not thinking about the disciples' ship. We're thinking about discipleship. And that has very little to do with boats of any kind. Now you don't understand. What do I mean? Well, discipleship is the process of becoming a disciple. A disciple is a follower, a learner, a student. A disciple is someone who listens and learns from the teaching and example of another and tries to become more like them in everything that they do. A bit like you and Paul Hollywood. Paul Hollywood. He's a celebrity chef. Yes, I know who he is. You think he's marvellous. He's so good at baking. And you want to be able to bake just like him. You follow him on Twitter and YouTube. And you learn lots of tips to help you bake better cakes. Well, I suppose then you are one of his followers. Like a disciple. Well, I suppose so in a way. And I genuinely hope that you will become more like him. And then your cakes will be much improved. But today, we're thinking about being a follower of Jesus. Because we can all be disciples of Jesus when we learn from him and follow him. And as we learn from his teaching and copy his example, we grow in our faith. And we are changed to become more and more like him. And that is discipleship. So Jesus' disciples didn't have a ship. No. But they followed Jesus and learnt from him and became more like him. That's right. They watched what Jesus did and then Jesus encouraged them to go out and do the same things. To heal the sick and share the good news with all those that they met. The disciples were changed by their encounter with Jesus and the journey that they went on with him. And we can be changed too when we meet Jesus and learn from him. And that's what discipleship is all about. And now I have another challenge for you. Can you change this piece of paper into a ship? Well, I'll show you how to fold it so it ends up like this one. And if you follow my instructions carefully, you will be able to make your own boat like this one. And if you want to make one too, the instructions are with the children's activities on the website. It could be your discipleship. Well, yes. And you could write on it the things that need to be changed in your life to make you more like Jesus. And then you could ask him to help you. But it's time for us to go now. So before we start on our paper boat, we'll say goodbye. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive. And until we see you again, be blessed.
This morning, I'm going to use the hand as a model for the prayers. The thumb is used as something good, so a thumbs up type of thing. The index finger is a pointy finger. What direction are we going? The middle finger, the tallest, for those who lead and are in power. The ring finger, the weakest finger, who can't do much on its own. We're going to pray for family and friends and the church. And the little finger, the smallest, we're going to pray for the weak and the helpless. And the subject this morning is about discipleship, so that's what's going to be incorporated with these prayers. So let's pray. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. We live in a country with few restrictions. We have freedom to worship you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you that you want us to learn and love as you taught. Thank you that to be a disciple is not out of our ability because you lead. Thank you for the many blessings of family and friends and homes, of the NHS, for a democracy that makes our lives easier. Thank you for our wonderful British weather, never the same, and such an opportunity to start up conversations which can lead to sharing of our faith. Mostly, Lord, we just thank you for dying for our wrongdoing and being alive again to be our anchor. Lord, as we come out of this strange 15 months when things for some have been turned completely upside down and at the very least change, as we think about opening up and engaging with one another in a more normal pattern, what direction are you leading us in? How, as your disciples, can we grow? But also, how can we learn and live to show our discipleship? We pray you will reach into ourselves, give us a tap on the shoulder, impart that idea in our mind, or give us in the enthusiasm and strength to go forward. We don't know what life will be like in 1 week, in 1 month, or in 1 year, but we do know that there are people without hope who need you. May we as disciples be ready to react. Each day we hear news of what is going on in our community, in our town, in our country and in the world. Being a leader has so much responsibility. There are brilliant leaders who care for those they lead. There are others who have their own well-being and agenda at the top of their list. So, Lord, we want to bring to you those who have power in this world to use it wisely so that we may be more of a one world. As we think about our discipleship role, may we use what you have given us by your grace to be a humble leader. Over these last few months, there have been many sadnesses, and at the moment there is uncertainty about how to get back to normality. There have been some today that have had to isolate because of this risk. Lift them up, Lord. May you bless them during this time. There are others going through treatments to help them in other health matters. Not always nice and can be testing. Bless them, Lord. In our own family, there may be concerns. We may be the one who is depending on others, or we may be the one others are depending on. There are those hidden problems with our health, be it physically, mentally, or spiritually. Some who are feeling unloved or in a muddle or lonely or afraid. Let's just have a few moments of quietness to lift someone up in your heart that might fit into one of those categories. Lord, as we turn our attention to those who live in very different circumstances than ours, we have heard recently about India and Nepal and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, not only with high numbers of COVID cases, but with the slow uptake of vaccines through negative stories causing fear. May there be a turnaround, and perhaps our experience in this country can be an encouragement. We have been hearing for some time of people who are being removed because they are a threat or just an inconvenience to a country. And we think of China or Myanmar. The fear of the Afghan people as again, the power struggle is causing so much hardships and death. Sometimes it feels, what's the use of praying? But Lord, you do hear, and all those drops of prayer will fill buckets. As disciples, what goes on in this world is a concern, and we need to be diligent and persistent in our prayers. So to end, may we just lift our hand and pray for ourselves that you will use us for your kingdom purposes and will encourage us in our discipleship walk. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, thank you, Diana and Jane. And no prizes for guessing what our theme is this week. It's on discipleship. Why do we believe what we believe about discipleship? Now, if you've read your Gospels and seen how Jesus interacts with others, he said, come follow me. Come follow me, he said, not to the elites or to the titled, but to the equivalent of the fisherwoman and man. In the accounts, it seems sometimes like Jesus randomly happens up to people and encourages them to walk with him. Jesus found Simon fishing, borrowed his boat, caught more fish than Simon could have imagined, then asked him to follow him to work for more than just fish. Simon joins this little collective, sees something in Jesus, sees the word of God present and active in front of his very eyes. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to Luke 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, one of the people crowded around him, and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and talked the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish in their nets that they began to break. So they signaled to their partner of the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all the companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats to the shore, left everything, and followed him. There, Simon joins the journey. Jesus teaches truths that will form the world as we know it, for good or for bad. Jesus teaches, and 2,000 years later, it's impacted our world. In a world ravaged with war, sitting down as a disciple at Jesus' feet and hearing Jesus say, "Blessed are the peacemakers," would have been a world-shaking view. Claire shared last week about how Israel's obsession with winning the wars, being the champions, being on top. "Blessed are the peacemakers," these disciples would have heard. People would have been astounded. No, not "blessed are the peacemakers." "Blessed are Israel, who will champion and rule the world." That's what the majority thought. "Blessed are the peacemakers." Imagine telling a die-hard England fan that they had to support Germany or that they had to support Ukraine. It would blow their minds. It would go against everything that they would have ever imagined possible and everything they were focused on. "Blessed are the peacemakers" is an earth-shattering statement from Jesus teaching these people. But still, Jesus calls and people follow. People become his disciples. To be a disciple was a high calling. It wasn't about turning up to hear Jesus on a Sunday morning. It wasn't about coming to a church service. It was, "Come follow me. Leave everything behind. Give up all that you know. Leave your mother and your father," when your mother and father were the center of your world. "Come follow me. Come follow me, Jesus. No ifs or buts, no fair weather choices. Follow me and explore what the word of God is saying. Come follow me and see what God is speaking to this world." We see in scripture that many followed Jesus, from the inner circle to a wider group, to those that gathered on the fringes. But not everyone followed Jesus. Jesus walked by countless people who chose not to follow him, not to walk with him, turn their back on him, or maybe not wanting to pay the price. Being a disciple is to learn from someone, to sit under someone, to be taught by them. Someone learning to be different because of what they hear someone else saying. I was reflecting a little bit on what we might be a modern day disciple of. I wonder, in what areas of our life are we a modern day disciple? Diana and Clive shared about Clive's obsession with Paul Hollywood. He's a disciple, maybe, of Paul Hollywood and his cake and his cooking abilities. We might, in our own world, learn from many different people. We can be a disciple in many different areas of life. I wonder if we become a disciple to our boss, a disciple to our career path. Do we become a disciple to an obsession or a fixation or something that makes us feel differently about ourselves? Maybe we become a disciple to our iPhone or our connected device, a disciple to our sports team or our pets. These may seem superficial things, but they can demand a high amount of energy and time from us. The discipline of staring at your iPhone for hours and hours, that's a big commitment. Ever looked at your daily usage on your phones? Our work life can demand everything. Working to climb the ladder, to get the money, to get the house, to have the holidays, and on and on and on. It's important that we look after ourselves, important that we have jobs that pay the bills, that do the work. But it can be easy to take a lead from these things rather than hearing from the word of God in our lives. It can be easy to live for the career, for the family, for the job, for the holiday, for the house, and not allow the word of God to speak into our lives. If our understanding of the world comes from our daily newspapers, then we're likely missing something of our walk with God. In a world that is screaming and shouting for data and time, can we step back and imagine ourselves there by the lakeside? Jesus walking into our lives, walking up to us, walking into our careers, our roles, saying, come follow me. Discover the word of God. Discover what God is saying to you right now where you are. Give up those things. Don't worry about what others worry about. Don't invest as others invest. Come look at the world differently. He'd say, tired of the quick fix, the self-help, come discover the unforced rhythms of grace in your life. I love that phrase translated in the Message. Jesus walks up beside us and says, come discover the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus invites us to walk with him through the minefield of family, work, politics, sexuality, environmentalism, faith, and every other aspect of our lives. He doesn't invite us to be somewhere else. He's not keeping us in reserve. He's not asking only those who are on the mission field or in full-time ministry. He walks with us in our school, our office, our desks, our homes, and says, come follow me. Come walk with me with those things, with who you are. I want us just to delve a little bit deeper into something else Jesus said. And this is in John 8, a little bit further on. And it's John 8, 31. To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, if you've grown up reading the King James, if you abide in my word, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus says to those coming to him, abide in me, learn from my teachings. Now we're going to go a little bit deep for a few minutes, so apologies if it goes over your head, but the word that we translate, or the NIV translate teachings, or the King James translates word, abide in my word, is the Greek word logos. Now we all know Jesus didn't speak Greek, he spoke Aramaic and Hebrew. So that word that he spoke was translated into Greek, logos, which then is translated into English, that some say teaching, some say word. Now, Christians link this word, logos, to the Old Testament idea of God's revelation, the word and spirit brooding over the world we see in the Genesis accounts, the word of God brooding over creation. When John uses this word, abide in my logos and follow my teaching, abide in my word, he's using a concept that was a well-known Greek philosophical concept, logos. The idea that throughout harks back to a long time ago was used to think about the cosmic process of reasoning and power and thinking, how we might interact with the created God in some ways. Later, the Stoics, the philosophers, defined logos as the active, rational, and spiritual principle in all reality. Logos was a loaded word that referenced a whole Greek understanding of gods. They called logos providence, nature, God, soul of the universe. Philo of Alexandria in the first century, a Jewish philosopher, taught that logos was the intermediary between God and the cosmos, being both the agent of creation and the agent which people's minds can connect and comprehend who God is. So it was both. So when we have in Scripture the Greek word logos, it's purposely linking into a Greek philosophical thought that is very loaded in that culture. early Christians took the concept of logos and adapted it to Jesus' mission to our world. Like we might understand an Eastern religious idea of like Zen or Nevada and say, well, you know that thing, you know that concept. Well, that's actually what Jesus is saying. So they take this Greek concept and say, actually, what Jesus is talking about is that thing. So when we say Scripture's really, we just need to do what Scripture says, actually Scripture's really complicated and hard to understand, because that logos word comes with a whole bank of baggage that the early church is using to explain who Jesus was. To abide in the logos, to abide in the word of God, is to abide in the cosmic force at work in our world. That force we abide in is at the heart of a disciple. We might think it's the Holy Spirit or love or a created essence or something else within us. The Christian faith at its core says that power in this world, that cosmic power in this world, however you understand it to be, whatever your background or your faith, that cosmic connection between God and us, that word is the power of Jesus in our lives. The logos of our life is expressed in the presence and person of Jesus Christ. So to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to see that cosmic connection between God and us and see that as Jesus walked this planet, he made that word connection. That's why a walk with God can never, ever be about turning up to a building on a Sunday morning. It is never about that. It's about God's word being active in our lives, in our world, in our choices, in our everyday life. The idea of a Christian who just attends something is no idea of a Christian at all. He uses the word logos because in Jesus he saw the redemptive character of the person of Christ and a way of understanding something of the nature of God. We need not to miss the point. A disciple is a whole life disciple. A disciple is where we take God from our gathering into our everyday. We can't separate out the two. Those disciples who walked with Jesus were constantly challenged about what they believed, how they understood love. For those who came into contact with him, with his desire to see the least as the first, to see the truth in the powerless, the hope in the children, the grace in the poor, Jesus saw the world and turned it on its head. And today, if we're not growing in our understanding of who Jesus is, what that means in our society, in our culture, what that means as the world changes and how we adapt and think and reflect on it, then we're no disciple at all. A disciple isn't holding a rigid position and defending it until the last. A disciple grows in their understanding, just like those fishermen by the end when they saw Jesus hanging from a cross, grew in their understanding of what love was, grew in their understanding of what grace was, were totally transformed in their thinking and in their behavior. They went from simple fishermen to martyrs who died for what they saw in Jesus Christ. They were changed and transformed. They didn't hold a rigid belief from the beginning till the end. They stood at Jesus' feet and learned something about what Jesus said about the world around him. I'd like us to finish by doing a short meditation, going through the Beatitudes. And we're going to watch that now. So thank you, Toby.
I'd love to encourage you as you sit and reflect this week on what I've shared, but also to think how Jesus' words speak to you in your everyday life. Now, I'd like to lead us in a short time of meditation, and maybe you would reenact this during your week at your workspace, whether it's your desk in the lounge at the moment, whether you're commuting into London again in the office, whether you're driving around, whether you're at home or school or wherever you find yourself. I'd like us to picture Jesus sitting with us, Jesus being where we are and speaking to us just like he spoke to his disciples all those years ago. Jesus' words of the Beatitudes, I'd like to use as a time of meditation. So I'll read them slowly, an opportunity for you to reflect on what's around you, thinking through how Jesus' words then impact your situation today, acknowledging that our discipleship, our walk with God, is not on Sunday morning. It's where we find ourselves right now, this week. So let's hear Jesus' words in light of our current situation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Lord God, those Beatitudes spoke to a culture and a society that was wrestling to understand who it was in light of Jesus' message. I pray that as we look around us from our workspace, from our home, from where we spend our time, you call us to be your disciples here and now, not over there, not at that time, not in the past, not in the future, but right now we're called to walk with you through our illnesses, through our challenges, through our disappointments, hurts and pains. I pray that we might know you and walk with you this week. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Charlotte, for closing our time together. Don't forget, next week we're not online, but everyone is welcome to join us, and we really hope we'll see you there. Obviously, we'll be there whatever the weather. I say that now, but we'll give it a go. Please bring an umbrella and we'll huddle together. I think we all have got a bit more experience over the last year of being outside in the cold when we'd rather be on the inside. So please do come and join us and have that time together next Sunday morning. I'd love just to say the grace as we depart. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you and go in peace this week.